Hello and welcome to Strong in the City. I'm Nikki Strong. In the past, I've interviewed celebrities that may be ambassadors for certain causes like diabetes or sickle cell anemia. Well, today we're going to talk about breast cancer. And here with me, I have a local celebrity. Well, some of you know her. She's been on air nationwide on Sirius XM on The Urban View with Coco Mode. But she has also been a good dear radio friend of mine over the years. She's worked at PGC and 92Q and VOA. Her name is Shauna Renee. How you doing, Shauna?
I'm good. How are you, Nikki?
I'm fine. Now, you do a podcast, and this month in particular, you're going to be focusing on breast cancer.
Yes. The reason being because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so when I left Sirius XM to just sort of focus on my health and, and getting better, I decided, because I missed reaching out and connecting with the audience so much, that I would start a Feminine Art of Balance, or what I call Fab Life, podcast that focuses on tips and tricks and tools that help women find a place of balance, a place of peace, so that they can move forward and create the kind of lives that they want to do.
Now, interesting,
or want to have, I should say.
You were setting that up before you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes. Actually, the Feminine Art of Balance came out of my work as a yoga teacher. And it came out of my work as a certified holistic health counselor. And it just came out of the fact that this is just what I love to do. I've always had an interest in health and wellness, healing, spirituality. So I had been probably for the last 8 years or so just compiling tons of information and using myself as a guinea pig, if you will, just kind of testing out things. How does this make me feel? You know, how does this help me in this area of my life? How does this help me manage my stress? So, yes.
So here you are into wellness and health. And I've always known you to be into health and wellness. And you get diagnosed with breast cancer. First of all, what did you do? How did you find out, first of all?
Well, okay. So I'm in my room. One evening, music on, dancing around, acting silly the way, you know, I normally do.
Yes.
And I noticed that my breasts were sore. And so, you know, like every woman, you know, I looked at the calendar to see if maybe, you know, my cycle was near. And I realized that it was not. And that there was no reason for them to be sore. So I started to...
Were they like sore to the touch? Just like,
well, you know, I was bouncing up and down.
But did you just not think that could be just a result of bouncing up and down? You just knew it was different.
There was something different inside that just said, this isn't right. And see, this comes from years of doing yoga and taking care of myself. I know my body really, really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I noticed they were sore, that's the first, like I said, the first thing I did was say, okay, well, maybe your cycle is near. That happens to many of us. And then when I realized, no, I know my body enough to know that if we're on week two, then there's no reason why I should be feeling this way. So then I started to just kind of feel around. And I had done like self breast examinations, just kind of like, you know, bootleg versions of them, just feeling around before.
Did you do them regularly or just on occasion?
No, you know, just on occasion when I thought about it. Or, you know, I love myself. So my hands are always on myself. So, you know, when they're there, I just feel around. So, you know, I just started feeling and then I started to feel around the left side of the left breast, and I said, oh my gosh, that doesn't feel right. And I felt what felt like a mass. And I knew right then. I knew right then something was there. I knew. I said, okay, I need to go check this out. I went to go see my OBGYN because I needed another hand on it.
Yes.
You know, and she had done self-examinations whenever I would go to my appointment. So, you know, I think like the next day or 2 days later, I had an appointment with my OBGYN. She felt it. She said, you need to go get a mammogram. And I went that day to a screening facility and got a mammogram that day.
Now, when you said you knew, meaning you knew something was wrong, or you knew that you had cancer?
I knew something was wrong. I suspected it was cancer.
Wow. And then once you went and they actually told you and confirmed your worst fear, what was that like?
Well, let me just say there was a period of time before that. So, you know, after getting the ultrasound and the mammogram, they say something is there, but they don't tell you that it's cancer. They say there's a mass. So you need to go get a biopsy.
Oh, okay.
So I went and got a biopsy. And then, you know, that was kind of a crazy period because, you know, there's a couple of days, a few days while you're waiting to see. Yeah. So when November 3rd, 2014 was the day, and I went in and I had my dear friend that I had known for many, many years with me because, you know, we knew and you know, it was like anything else. Oh, well, maybe it's just nothing, you know, just a mass.
And your friend came to support you.
She came to support me.
She said, let's find out.
Let me tell you, every appointment prior to the biopsy, because you have to do screenings and things like that, I had friends with me. I always had someone with me, with the exception of my very first appointment, and that was only because I hadn't told anyone yet that I felt anything. I just wanted to kind of do it by myself at that moment. But yes, she was with me to support me. And so, you know, they sit you down and the woman said, you know, you have what they thought was stage one at the time, what they call invasive lobular carcinoma, which is a very rare form of breast cancer. Only 20% of women who have breast cancer have the type that I developed.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, the doctor said to me, I'm amazed that you felt it, because this is not the type of cancer that generally creates a mass. So she said, congratulations, you know, that you felt it. And so that's why I always say to people, and I'll be talking about this a lot in the podcast, that it is so important that you do the self-exams. Like I was 39 years old. Like you said, I was a yoga teacher. I ate well. I was into health and wellness. I never in a million years would have thought that I would have to deal with this.
Right.
And I don't know. Only God knows, but I can say that because the doctors told me that having felt that lump at the time that I did saved my life.
Wow.
Because I would not have gone to get a mammogram, Nikki. I would not have gone to get one. I had two referrals in my purse from my OBGYN from the time I was 37, and I did not get them, and I knew I would not get them.
Girl, you're making me feel like Oprah right now. I'm tearing up. Wow.
So
when you found out, what was that moment? You were with your girlfriend.
I was in the room by myself. She didn't go in with me. So I was in the room by myself, and she tells you, and you know, it was without sounding cliche, it was kind of surreal. Like in that moment, you're like, okay, you process it.
Yes.
Because I was in this health and wellness space.
Yes.
I thought, okay, This is going to now give me an opportunity to put all of these things that I've been learning to use.
Yes.
And so my mind kind of went there.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
Yes.
So I stayed there for a minute. And then I think the hardest thing was you come out of the room and your girlfriend is there. And I mean, this is my dear friend since we were children. And, you know, she's looking at it and I'm like, yeah, it is. And and I had to go back to work that day. For whatever reason, because I'm a workaholic. Whatever reason, I had to go back to work that day. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get back to work. And she said, well, you know, let's go get a shot. You know, let's go to the bar and get a shot, which is probably the worst thing you could do in terms of health, you know.
Right.
But it was all I could do in that moment.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you know, we're drinking buddies. You know, I enjoy a good spirit, a good glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, you know, let's just go have a drink, sit down, and just talk. And that was what I needed to do.
Yes.
And I tell women all the time, like, you do whatever you need to do to get through that day.
That day.
if it's drinking, you know, go get twisted. I mean, I don't recommend this any other time.
Sure.
But you've got to get through that day, because that day is going to, that's going to be the hardest part.
Yes.
Until you start
that
to move in.
That day changes the rest of your life.
That day you cease being, and I don't even like to say normal, but that day you will never not have cancer again.
And you never experience your life the same way that you did
that
day.
You get through that day however you can. And then you wake up the next day.
Yes.
And you decide, what am I going to live for?
Wow. What am I going to live for? And I know you got a baby.
I have a baby. That is what I lived for. That was the answer to my question.
Okay. What did you do? Now that you found out, what did you do? You woke up the next day.
I woke up the next day and I said, okay, I got to find the best doctors. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some hospitals that are well known for cancer treatment, certain kinds of cancer treatment.
Yes.
George Washington University here in D.C. has a phenomenal, phenomenal breast cancer mm-hmm. center. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go over there, Johns Hopkins, which wasn't too far. They have a very good cancer center as well. But I went to GW, and which was also where I got the biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and I sat down with a couple of oncologists and surgeons. They mm-hmm. I had a team of doctors
mm-hmm.
and we sat down and determined, OK, what's the best course of treatment?
And I know in your podcast, you're going to go into more detail.
I will.
Specifically, how you decided to go where and what kind of research and how did you do your research
mm-hmm.
and arrived at the decision you made.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. I also want you to touch upon this because you are an alternative health practitioner,
mm-hmm.
you know, and here you are with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who were like, okay, I'm just not Western medicine at all. What approach did you decide to take and how did you arrive
there? I took an integrated approach. I thought it was very important for me
yes.
to take an integrated approach.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to get into the podcast, how one supports a cancer patient, because one of the most difficult parts for me in that beginning stage was to hear the opinions of everyone mm-hmm. around me about what I should and should not be doing. It
sure.
wasn't helpful at all.
Sure.
And because I live in both of those worlds,
yes.
you know, I had a lot of the holistic health practitioners saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't
sure.
do this. And then I had a lot of people who believed in Western medicine saying, you better do this, you better do that. So I took an integrated approach and I consulted medical doctors. I have a homeopathic doctor, phenomenal homeopathic doctor in Detroit. I went home. That's Detroit is my home. I went home. I sat down with him. He gave me a course of treatment prior to the surgeries and then one after. So For me, the mm-hmm. integrated approach was the best.
And you're going to share how you found all of those different
yes.
doctors.
And how they work together. And what I'm going to do is I have a lot of questions because I've been getting so many questions from people
sure.
who have been diagnosed, who have loved ones who have been diagnosed, and who are just curious because they're interested in prevention.
Yes.
So I'm going to take a lot of those questions that I have, and I'm going to be answering them very specifically over the course of the month.
I want you to share this, and that is another thing that you have to deal with, and that's helpful for people like me who don't have cancer but who may encounter a friend who has cancer, how you handle, because people, I know, they find out you have cancer and then depending, you know, on what they think, sometimes they think it's the end of the world for you or they have no idea how to respond. They don't know whether to cry, you know, because they're dealing with their own ideas of
mm-hmm.
what that means for them.
Mm-hmm.
How did you negotiate that? Or what advice do you give to people when they find out that their friend or their loved one has cancer? What's the best response that is the most helpful?
Well, there's so many, and again, I'll get into specifics later on in the podcast, but I will say the first thing that I tell people is understand that the person who has cancer is also managing your emotions.
Excellent point.
So you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like if you can come from that perspective, understanding that
yes.
they are now in a position of having to tell the people that love them that they have cancer.
Yeah.
And depending on the severity of the cancer that
yes.
they may very well be dying. So, you know, so it's like it's hard to say, well, you should do this, you should do that. You
sure.
just have to know that this person is just as concerned about your reaction as you are about them. So temper it in
mm-hmm.
a sense,
mm-hmm.
you
because
know,
you can add much more stress
because the
to it.
Right. Because the more dramatic your reaction is,
yes.
the more difficult, even if it's, oh, I love you and I'm sorry and I want you and I'll hug you and
right.
I'll kiss you. And
it's well,
you know,
intended.
It's yep. all well intended.
Yes.
It's always, of course, it's well. Well,
sure.
most times it's well intended. But understand that the more dramatic and the more the bigger your reaction, the more difficult it is for the patient,
fair.
The survivor.
Yes.
To manage because.
Yes.
They, you know,
yes.
You feel like you've failed in
right.
a way, or you've
right.
disappointed,
right?
Or you've, you know,
right.
destroyed someone,
right?
You know,
I know you'll talk about that, about how you had to tell the various people in your family, including your son, and how you managed and how you navigated that and what you learned from that in the
and
process.
I will say this about my family, understanding my father had cancer. My mother was dealing with my stepfather's lung cancer. She still is. So I had to, and I can tell you what I did. I had to tell my mother, who was taking care of my stepfather, who has lung cancer, that her only child had breast cancer. Mm. So when I talk about having to manage other people's emotions, that's what it was. So I talk about that. And then I will talk a lot about how to break it to children, because that's a very difficult thing, too. And it's not it's not a one size fits all approach. But, you know,
how has all of this this journey informed your work as a yoga instructor and a holistic health practitioner?
Well, I will say this. I stopped doing yoga for many years just because I was concentrating on running and doing sort of more intense kind of training. I just needed that outlet. I had no choice but to go back to my yoga practice as I dealt with this, because I could not do anything else. And because I needed it to manage the intense stress that came with having to deal with everything.
Yes.
The doctors, the surgery, the families, the expectations. I was still, as you know, Nikki, I was working throughout everything.
Yes.
So picking that practice up and being reminded of how helpful the practice was in my survival, because I remember when I first picked it up, how helpful it was to get me through what I was dealing with at that time.
Yes.
It sort of encouraged me to go back to teaching, because I wasn't teaching either. I wasn't practicing. I certainly wasn't teaching. And then I said, you know, I remember why I went to teacher's training. I remember why I decided to become a teacher, because I realized how important this practice is and how valuable this practice is, and how, as women, especially women of color, we don't have access to it for a variety of reasons that I won't get into right here, right now.
Sure.
But, you know, that maybe this is now the opportunity for me to go back out there as a teacher and say, not only can I teach you yoga in general, but I can teach you exactly how this practice can help you survive cancer or any traumatic.
Sure.
You know, the loss of a family member, the stress of everyday life.
Sure. It's that mind, body, spirit connection.
Right.
You know, because Western culture is very mind and yoga, it being an integrative know, practice as well. And then communal. It brought you back to the community.
It did.
So on that note, I know you're going to be answering people's questions. So if people are listening to this and they want to follow your podcast and they want to ask you questions, how would they reach out to you?
Okay. Well, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Ms. Shauna Renee. That's M-S-S-H-A-W-N-A-R-E-N-E-E. So you can find me there. If you have questions there, you can, you know, DM me either on Instagram or Twitter. I am also on Facebook. Shauna Renee Show is where you'll find me. Or you can search Feminine Art of Balance. But the most important thing, if you have a question, I would love for you to just email me directly. And that's DJ Shauna Renee. S-H-A-W-N-A-R-E-N-E-E at Gmail. And if you just, in the subject line, just say, you know, podcast question. And I will answer every single question that I get. Because a lot of times if there's sort of two sides of the same coin, we'll get through it. But I just, I want.
And not just breast cancer questions.
Right. Well, I will answer questions about how to survival.
Okay.
Surviving any kind of cancer.
Okay.
Now, just to be clear, and I just want to make, I am not a doctor, so I'm not going to be in a position to say, well, I recommend you get this treatment versus that treatment.
No.
That's not what I'm going to do. I would always say you go with what your doctors say. But if you are concerned and you are interested, how do I deal with this? How do I wrap my mind? How do I get my heart right? How do I get my spirit right? Because this is a battle. I mean, when they say it's cancer, when they say cancer battle, I'm battling cancer. It is a battle.
Yes.
And it's a physical battle. And it is, God knows, it's a spiritual battle. If you believe in any kind of God consciousness whatsoever, you realize at that moment that without tools and understanding,
you can't win.
And we'll talk a lot about nutrition, and I have a lot of questions that I'm going to be answering about products, beauty products, hair products,
definitely,
that kind of thing.
Definitely, because the ingredients can impact you. I remember being in one store, and I said, this is a carcinogen. I don't use these. I said, because this is a carcinogen. And I didn't know that I was talking to someone who was battling cancer. I just noticed she was looking at that, and I just happened to be, we were looking, we were talking. I said, this is why I don't use these products. You see this? This is a carcinogen. This is a carcinogen. And most of the beauty products have carcinogens in them. And she just looked at me, and she said, I am battling cancer right now.
Right.
You know, and I was like, you can go home and Google carcinogens, cosmetics, and you will see the list of the ingredients for yourself.
Yeah.
So I know you're going to be talking about all of that. Thank you so much for being open and sharing your journey. I know a lot of people are going to be inspired and empowered and equipped, just better equipped.
Yeah. And that's my hope. That's my hope for this. And it is, you know, I didn't go through this just for myself.
Right.
And so that's why I said, you know what, I might as well share my experience in hopes that, you know, it will inspire others to do better for themselves, but then other people who are going through the same thing to share their stories. The more of us who actually go out and share our stories, the better, because it's good to know you're not alone.
You know, it's interesting. I'm gonna share this. I had a friend of mine. I've known. It's unfortunate that so many people are knowing people who have cancer, you know. And I shared on Facebook, a friend of mine, a male friend of mine, he texted me his test results. And, you know, he had been diagnosed with cancer and he's going through chemo. And it was like, you know, barely detectable. It was like less than zero, you know. And he was like, hey, man, God is good. And I got so excited because I have known people who have died of cancer when I was young. Before cancer, now people are much more aware of cancer now. But when I was young, I had a childhood friend whose mother died of cancer, which didn't make any sense to me. I didn't know what that was.
Right.
But I've had men who've died of prostate cancer. I've had, that's why I say this is not just male. I mean, it's not just female. It's also male, too. It's a community. It's a community issue. It's a community thing. And but, you know, being able to watch your journey and being able to you know, have other people share their journeys with me. It's exciting to know that people are surviving. And that says a lot. And I will say one of the common denominators is health. People who have, who make an immediate, you know, switch or prior to, who never thought they would, but because of the health that they were in, helped them to in that battle.
And acceptance. The acceptance of it at that moment, because it's the denial that causes the problem. And we'll talk. I'll talk a lot about that, too, because that is that that thing where you, when you asked me the first question, that, you know, the first thing that runs through my mind, I was like, OK, now I got to get this out. I have to figure out how to do this. But that's only because I accepted it. I think for a lot of women, sometimes they're just kind of like, I don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it becomes
I'm going to hook you up with my friend of mine who is, it's a he. And we talked about, like, the issues that men, like, when he's talking to men, their concerns, you know, just like how women with our breasts are a part of our femininity and our womanhood, and how, like, you know, impotence becomes an issue
when
men are dealing with prostate cancer, which prevents men from going to the doctor or saying, man, you know, I don't want to be impotent. I can't, you know. And so it's serious stuff.
Yeah, it is
definitely mind, body, spirit.
Yes.
Okay, so Shauna, thank you so much. That has been today's edition of Strong in the City. She got me acting like Oprah, crying up in here. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you.